What if every day you had the chance to experience more love and intimacy in your life? We're going to be sharing stories of struggles and triumphs in love, sex, and relationships, along with expert advice to create more conscious connections. Enjoy this podcast with Dawn Richard. Wake up to real love.
Hi, everyone. This is Dawn Richard, also known as The Awakening with Dawn, and this is the Wake Up to Real Love show, where we share stories of struggles and triumphs in love, sex, and relationships, along with expert advice to create more conscious connections. I am super honored today to welcome my guest, Alexi Bracey. Hi, Alexi.
Hi there.
Alexi is a sweet, sweet person with a big, big heart. She is a happiness advocate and youth motivational speaker, delivering programs to students and educators focusing on self-empowerment, self-confidence, and emotional well-being for everyday challenges. She's passionate about the role happiness plays in youth development. Alexi empowers individuals and equips them with tools for emotional resilience and self-worth. Welcome, Alexi.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here.
Okay, I'm going to start because I saw this powerful post on your social media. It said, imagine if schools actually helped kids identify their strengths by exploring their talents from a young age and growing their skills over the 12 years instead of letting them all follow the same routine and leaving them confused in life after graduation.
I know that really resonated with me because it is so true. You know, everybody's worried about the academics, you know, so you can get into the right schools for college to get the right job and whatever. But life isn't about academia. It's about life skills, because the rate of suicide is the second leading cause of death in our youth today after cancer. You know, there's more anxiety, more depression, you know. So, I mean, what are we doing about it? You know, social skills are what is going to help us, not academic skills.
Were you ever a teacher?
No. Well, as an adult, but not in the school system, like, you know, teaching individuals or like webinars or stuff like that, but not as an academic teacher, no.
I mean, it's really interesting because my mom was an educator. She taught high school math for many, many years. And she was like the school counselor, even though she wasn't an official school counselor. Mm-hmm. But my kids, I have three kids, 24, 25, 23, and 20. And they all say, Mom, why don't they teach us the stuff in school that we need to know in order to live life, like how to do our finances, how to manage our emotions, how to, you know, develop good relationships in our lives, mindfulness and meditation, like how do we learn to manage ourselves? So how do you think that we can do this?
I know it's so sad, you know. A good friend of mine told me that when they eliminated personal growth curriculum from the schools, she quit teaching.
Wow. I didn't even know they did that. When did they used to do that?
Well, I guess she's a really successful networker now, so I guess it's been quite a few years, you know.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, we need everyday skills, not the academics, you know. People have the misconception that if you have the car and the boat and the trailer and a good paying job, you're going to be happy. No, it's the other way around. You're happy first. And happiness is an inside job, really. And how you learn that is through example, whether it's at home, whether it's your teacher, whether it's a friend, whether it's your favorite grandmother, you know, that's how we learn.
What did your parents teach you about happiness?
Not much. I didn't really come from a supportive family. My mother was very critical. Uh-huh. You could never do anything right. I had to be the perfect child, the perfect manners, the perfect grades at school. So I certainly didn't get it there. But, you know, like they say, the happiness levels on an individual are determined 50% by genetics, mm-hmm. 40% by habits, and 10% by lifestyle. So, you know, I must have had the genes there somewhere. Because as a child, I was an only child, so I sort of learned how to entertain myself. And so I sold the most Girl Guide cookies in grade school. I sold the most chocolate bars in high school. When I got into food, I used to be a chef. I went through 500 pounds one Easter in a small apartment kitchen making chocolate Easter bunnies and rabbits and roosters, but I only had one mold of each.
500 pounds of chocolate.
I probably ate 20 pounds worth, but anyway. But, you know, because happiness in your tummy goes a long way. So I was doing it to make people happy. So, you know, somehow it started way back. And then over the course of the years, when I learned that bringing joy was one of my key values, lo and behold, happiness really entered into the picture. And how this again happened was quite by accident. Like I said, I used to be a chef. And I used to work at really remote fishing lodges in the summertime. The more remote, the better, because I like that isolation, I guess you could say. You can see the stars at night and, you know, no Starbucks on the horizon, no powerboats disturbing the peace. And one particular particular lodge, I was there for 4 years. And so the 90% of their guests were repeats. So these fishermen were now bringing their grandchildren.
Wow.
And so during their dinner time, I would go out. What am I going to talk to them about fishing? So I started telling jokes. And so then the next year when they saw me, they go, Alexi, do you have jokes? And so I started accumulating all these jokes. And so that's how I got into sharing jokes with people. And then, like I said, when I found out that one of my key values was bringing joy, and the Happy for No Reason training program fell into my lap, it was a perfect mix, perfect fit. And so, you know, I'm just expanding now on different ways how you can show happiness to people, because it's really vital for everybody, no matter what it is. We're always, you know, stay positive. How do you stay positive? Well, there's different ways you can do it. But, you know, it's not about you being happy. It's about sharing your happiness, your kindness, your gratitude to other people, because then in return, you reap the benefits as well.
That's beautiful. And I feel like so many people just seek external things, you know, like you said, the car, the boat, but it's like, why don't people have an internal sense of joy or happiness? Because when you look at little kids are full of joy and they're just running around playing and being creative and using their imaginations and all of that stuff. And then what happens along the way that cuts that off from ourselves? What do you think happens?
Well, it's partially parents. It's partially the school system. You know, are you're making too much noise? Go sit in the corner. Why didn't do well on your marks? You know, so you're grounded. So, you know, parents have to learn EQ, emotional intelligence. It's how you approach your children when they have misbehaved or not done well in school. And it's not just with kids. It's with your partner, your parents, whatever. You know, you got 4 out of 10 on your exam. That's not very good. What can we do to make it a 10 out of 10 next time? A different approach. So you're not, you know, because the kids are already scared that they're going to be chastised and punished at home for doing something not proper or not correct or whatever.
Right.
It's the same thing when, you know, your spouse forgets your birthday or he leaves mud on the floor or whatever. It's the way you approach it. Sweetheart, could you pay a little bit more attention to when you come in? Or may I offer a suggestion? Or can I share something with you? It's how we talk to them.
Hmm. A lot of people don't know how to do that very well, do they,
Alexi?
No,
they don't. They don't at all. I mean, it's so sad, you know. You get scolded, reprimanded, punished.
Judged, criticized, ridiculed.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And even from friends, you know.
That's right.
It's from adults, but it's from peers. It's from society. Like when you were just talking about that, I thought, when did we learn or how did we learn that we had to be perfect, whatever that is?
It comes from our upbringing, I think, you know, because as parents, we always want better for our children. And unfortunately, our parents handed down their negative traits that we embraced. And so the cycle sort of continues. And so you have to break that cycle and do things a little differently, you know, because we all come from different backgrounds. Maybe your parents struggled during the war. Maybe they struggled because they lost their home, maybe whatever. And so that their life has impacted them in a negative way that in turn impacts you in a negative way.
But then whose responsibility is it to make you happy?
You. Your happiness is not dependent on external circumstances. It comes from within. That you feel worthy. You know better. Louise Hay has a really great example. Look in the mirror every day and just say to yourself, "I love you," and really mean it. You know, not just flippantly, but really, really mean it.
I love Louise Hay.
Oh yes, I know, a sweetheart, absolutely.
She is probably, there are two books that I have recommended the most in my whole adult life. And Louise Hay, You Can Heal Your Life, is the top one. You know, and I know, I mean, when I was listening to that other podcast that we were talking about earlier before we started recording, you were talking about the connection between the mind, body, heart, and soul. And she really talks a lot about that. Can you share about that, because you resonate with her and you brought her up? I mean, I love her.
Well, we're vibrational beings. We're all energies. We're all frequencies. So whatever the frequency is around you, you're going to take in. So David Hawking, another expert on the frequency spectrum, you know, happiness vibrates at a 600 or 700. So we want to vibrate at that higher frequency. Dr. Emoto did a beautiful experiment. He took two glasses of water. Underneath one glass, he wrote the words anger, and underneath the other glass, he wrote the word love. And then he froze droplets of the water and looked under a high-powered microscope. The droplets that were under anger were all gnarled and just a mess of ice. Right. And the other one was a perfect snowflake. So, you know, even the water absorbs that negativity. They did experiments with plants, two plants. You talk nicely to one plant, it's going to thrive. You ignore the other plant, it dies. So we're the same way as human beings. So what vibration we emit is the vibration that we're being fed, whether it's through our environment or what's said to us or our belief system. You know, when I was diagnosed with my cancer, I vibrated at a high vibration with a positive mindset because I knew I was going to beat it. I didn't feel sorry for myself. Woe was me and all these negative things. So it's that frequency that's really important.
And so how do you learn to raise your vibration? Because this is, I mean, all of these terms are kind of new-ish in our society. And I know, I mean, I keep thinking about the people who have had so many struggles and challenges in their life. And so they lose that sense of belief in themselves, or they lose that sense of worthiness because other people have given them all of these negative messages. And so how do you learn to break free from other people's stuff that you have carried within you and shift from that doubt and fear and insecurity to raise your vibration and feel better about yourself?
Well, you know, it could be music, the high frequency music, which is really healing. It could be meditation, mindfulness. Do things that make you feel good. It could be a bath, a massage, you know, affirmations, watch inspiring videos, you know, listen to somebody that, like Louise Hay, who's really inspiring and you know, really lifts up your spirits. Another person that Louise Hay was very fond of was Wayne Dyer. And it's the same thing with him. You know, his one of his famous quotes is, "When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change." Mm-hmm. So, you know, behind anything negative, there is something positive to be gleaned, but we don't always see it that way. So like, I can really say that my cancer was a gift to me because it took me through a whole bunch of different paths to where I am now. For example, Christopher Reeves, who had the accident, equestrian accident, left him
paralyzed,
quadriplegic.
Right.
When he founded did the research and founded the charity to raise awareness for spinal injuries, he said his latter years were the most happiest in his whole life.
Wow.
So it depends on how you look at things, you know. In anything positive, negative rather, like I said, there's always something positive to be gleaned. Like, for example, the mother who lost her child to drunk driving started mad.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know,
that was, okay, this is really weird, but that was my friend in high school. I can't believe that you just brought her up.
Oh, my Lord.
Because I was doing a retreat with her. Her name's Susan Herzog. And she died in a car accident. We were seniors in high school, and her mom is the one that started Mothers Against Drunk Driving.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. That is unbelievable.
That is a very weird synchronicity that we just had.
Okay, so what is that telling us? Something to consider, you know?
Taking the biggest heartache and pain and challenge in your life. Ooh. I'm
you know, like,
emotional.
For example, Nelson Mandela was imprisoned for 29 years. He was beaten by his guards. He slept on a concrete floor. He didn't even have a pillow. So he started saying the Hawaiian prayer, "I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you."
Right.
For about 4 years. And at his 23rd year as a prisoner, the beatings stopped. And prior to that, he had been saying this prayer.
Wow.
The day of his inauguration, when he was made the president of his country, the bodyguard standing close, his new bodyguard standing close to him, was one of the former guards from the prison.
Whoa.
The power of belief, of prayer, of the power of believing in yourself, in what matters to you. Whether it's happiness or joy or forgiveness or kindness or you're worthy.
Wow. Powerful.
Yes, very powerful.
And that, I mean, this is what I wanted to ask you. One of the things I wanted to ask you when you just said, when we were talking, that the hardest things in your life, most of the time or many times, bring you the biggest blessings. And so I wanted to ask you, I mean, I know you said when you got your cancer diagnosis, you said you just knew, you had this inner intuition that you knew that you were going to be okay. So was there any point in your healing journey where you felt discouraged or lost hope or anything like that?
No, I just,
because I imagine that a lot of people struggle with that when they're going through difficult things.
I just innately, there was this drive in me that I innately knew that I was going to do it. I had just moved to the West Coast. I live in Canada, so I didn't really have many friends, but I did invite a few over, and we sat one afternoon and we meditated and prayed according to Marianne Williamson's Return to Love. So we always need some little nugget that we can turn to in a moment of weakness. You know, it could be a friend, it could be prayer, it could be your higher power, it could be an affirmation. Like I said, you know, music, whatever. We're not meant to be solo players. So reach out and help someone, because you really like it when somebody reaches out to you and you can help them. So give somebody else that opportunity for the same thing. It's not a payback. It's just, you know, call up somebody and say, you know, I need a shoulder to cry on, or I need a pick me up, or let's go out for a cup of tea or whatever.
I think, though, Alexi, that a lot of people are afraid to ask for help. You know, there's this misconception that I have to be strong. I can't let anybody know what's really going on with me. And so you have a lot of people out in the world walking around wearing these masks of, I mean, I used to say it when I was in the midst of my marital, you know, hardship, I would go out and I'd say, I'm fine. I'm fine. Hi, I'm fine. I'm fine. And yet, for some reason, many of us, I would say the majority of people are kind-hearted and they want to help and they want to offer support. And so if you had come to me and said, Dawn, I really need your help, I would say, oh, of course, Alexi, how can I help support you? What can I do for you? And yet for some reason, there's something in us that makes us say, well, I don't want to ask somebody else for help because maybe I'll be a burden or maybe I'll be too much, or you know what I mean?
Oh, I totally agree with you. Yeah, it's partially it's pride. And another part is you don't feel yet you're worthy.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great book that just was released in February called Worthy by Jamie Kern Lima.
Kern Lima. Uh-huh.
I can't say enough about it. Just mm-hmm. unbelievable. And again, fittingly, Louise Hay, the publisher of Louise Hay is Reed Tracy, mm-hmm. and Reed Tracy Hay House has sponsored Jamie Kern Lima for Worthy, and it has
wow.
smashed Amazon records beyond. It's now in its sixth printing, and it's only been released a little bit more than a month.
Seriously?
Seriously.
Wow.
It is unbelievable. The best book. I would say probably the best book, one of the best books I've ever read. And so I'm in a situation where I've got challenges too. And then when I read the book, I came up with my own worthy poem, so to speak. And I said, I'm worthy of support. I'm worthy of sympathy. I'm worthy of helpful friends. I'm worthy for happiness. I'm worthy to have a smile on my face and peace in my heart. Because people, we think that we're not worthy for whatever reason, whether it's a habitual thing or maybe the way we have been treated and we don't think we are worthy. But everybody is worthy. Mm. Everybody. We just have to acknowledge and appreciate that we are worthy. And this book is a gem full of exercises you can do to find your worthiness.
Wow. I had seen Jamie I was at another workshop. Maybe like 2 years ago.
Okay.
And she was telling her business story. But she had a lot of beautiful challenges that she turned. And I mean, the reason why she started her makeup mm-hmm. company,
right.
because she had challenges and she felt ugly and unworthy and, you know, not good enough and all of these things. And I feel like that's part of our human condition that for some reason, you know, like, going from that childhood sense of purity, innocence, joy, everything is, you know, beautiful. I have no sense of self-judgment to these circumstances that happen in your life that make you cause you to doubt that. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like our whole rest of our life is about unpacking that.
That's right. You know, because through life, maybe you had a failed marriage. Maybe you had a failed business. Maybe you don't get along with your kids. So you think it was all my fault. I'm not worthy. So you have to break that cycle. That's, mm-hmm. that's the bottom line. And so I'm not suggesting how to do it because there are, you know, different techniques. But we are all worthy. We have to really instill that in our minds that I am worthy. I'm worthy of more. I'm worthy of better. I'm worthy of infinite love, infinite potential.
And so how do we do this? because we have all of these things, right? All of these reasons to doubt ourselves. And I remember, actually, I think I just heard it, I don't know, within the last week or two. It's like people are constantly trying to prove their worthiness. Like I have to prove something in order to mm-hmm. make other people believe it or make myself believe it, when it should be an inherent, because we were born means we're worthy of
That's
having
right.
this life.
Right. A great experiment to do is think of a situation where you were thanked for something you did. where somebody was really grateful. It could be a year ago, it could be 5 years ago, it could be 15 years ago. How did you feel? Remember that situation. The research has shown that if you spend 15 seconds a minute, three, four times a day reliving that situation, it lowers anxiety, lowers depression, and it raises the feel-good hormones in your brain, the serotonin and the dopamine. So everybody has something somewhere where they were being thanked for something that you, something you did. And if you can't think of a situation yourself, think of a situation where you, when you visualized it, where you remembered somebody else being thanked for something. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it was a grade school teacher, maybe it was your grandmother, whatever. Like for me, my probably one of my most profound and recent things happened. When I walk my dogs, I get a lot of attention, like I said. And so I met this young Filipino man who was here to look after his brother who was suffering from cancer.
Aww.
And so he'd be outside having a cigarette. And so we would strike up a conversation, but I only saw him like every 2 or 3 weeks. And then one day he said that his brother had died, and there was visitation at the chapel, just a short walk down a few blocks. And would I come? And I said, yes, of course. And so I showed up. There were about 30 Filipinos in the chapel. I went up to my friend, and he took me up to the casket. I had never met his brother, and they were waiting to make arrangements to have his brother's body and casket shipped back to the Philippines because his mother couldn't make it for the funeral. So we chatted a bit, and then I left. About 3 weeks later, I'm walking down the street, and this young Filipino woman comes up to me, and she says, "Were you at so-and-so's wake a few weeks ago?" I said, "Yes, I was." And she says, "You have no idea how you impacted our community by you showing up," because I was the only white person, so
white
to speak.
Person.
I was, I tell you, it's something I'll take to my grave with me. I was so touched.
Wow. And you had no idea.
No idea. Like, no idea.
Wow.
So you never know what the kind act you can do for someone that impacts them. Mm-hmm. So if you're feeling down and out and you don't feel like you deserve, there's always something you can think of where you did something for someone and they were very grateful for that act, whatever it was.
Well, and even too, if you smile at people walking down the street and say hi, or if you're kind to somebody like a clerk in a store or a waiter or a waitress in a restaurant, that you never know how much you impact them just by your kindness.
That's right, because you don't know what's going on in their life, because we all have trauma, tragedy, grief going on. We all do.
Uh-huh.
And so that one smile may be that one key thing that prevented them from jumping off the bridge. Like, you just don't know. You just don't know.
Yes. And so how do you, I mean, this I think is the challenge for people, because when you're stuck in your own stuff, it's like you keep running those negative tapes in your head of, why is this happening to me? Why is this going on? Why am I experiencing this? This is so hard, blah, 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 blah. You know, the things that we tell ourselves. And it's really, I mean, this is the part where I think it would be beautiful to teach children in the school systems.
Oh, yes.
To be able to do that, to be able to gain this sense of self-awareness and the sense of, like my parents always used to say, this too shall pass. Whatever you're going through, this too shall pass. So if you're down in the dumps, eventually you're going to be out. And if you're feeling way high, then eventually there's going to be something that will, you know, make you feel challenged. And so how do you take yourself out of that? How do you take yourself out of that? Like, consciously.
Focus on what random act of kindness you can show another person.
Mm-hmm.
So I tell jokes to strangers at the dog park, at the ATM machine, on Zoom networking meetings, service providers on the phone, because, you know, maybe somebody was rude to the service provider and she's had it. She's listened to it all day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I've got hosts on regular Zoom meetings that I attend, and the hostess will always say, "Oh, so have you got a joke for us, Alexi?" So You know, it's just, and maybe the Zoom meeting was a heavy topic. Uh-huh. And so all of a sudden, so you're left on a higher note. So there's right. always some way, a compliment, raising the windshield wipers off of somebody's car with an impending storm, uh-huh. you know, buying a flower for a neighbor and just giving it out for no reason, a compliment, you know, a touch on the arm when you're thanking your teller at the bank or cash register, cashier, call them by name because everybody likes to hear their name. Mm-hmm. You know, compliment them. You've got a beautiful smile, or I like your hair. That outfit looks really good on me too, you know? So like, you know, anything just for a little chuckle, just for a little chuckle, because it may be the best thing that they have heard that day. And then maybe they'll think, well, you know what? I got through this day. Maybe there is hope at the end of the tunnel and I'll try again tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah. I feel like that is one of the greatest skills to learn, is how to help yourself feel better, even if it's just a little bit, you know, a little bit on the scale. It's like, I'm not going to go from feeling completely depressed to super elated. I'm in a blissful state in this moment. But it's like, if we can make the conscious effort to continually try to feel a little better, do a little better. And it's not like, because I'm sure a lot of people feel overwhelmed and they feel like, oh my God, that's just one more thing I have to do. But it's more about that sense of beingness that you're talking about.
That's right. And so like in the schools, if the teacher could get all the students to write one or two anonymous notes to somebody in the classroom that you're not necessarily friends with.
Uh-huh.
And give it to them anonymously. You don't know how that may brighten up that day, because maybe that student felt like an outsider, like nobody liked them or whatever. And all of a sudden they get this compliment, because I've heard of stories like this where 30 or 40 years later, the person, now an adult, still has that note that they received from a teacher, from
Aww.
Somebody. And it just so impacted them.
That's so sweet. And I think too, because I mean, coming from my emotional therapeutic world, hurt people.
That's very true.
Right?
That's very true. Yeah.
And so sometimes you can look at a person who's not behaving very well and you think, well, they're just a big jerk. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so how do you shift your perspective of how you see other people when they're not being a bright light in the world?
That is challenging, definitely. Just give them the benefit of the doubt. Take a deep breath and just across the mile, send them hearts. You know, send them hearts and send hearts to yourself, so you have the patience and the tolerance not to say something negative or anything mean. There's a doctor, I can't think of his name, but he says, before you say anything to anyone, always think in your mind, is it kind? Is it necessary? Is it important?
Right. Is it kind?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
So when you are dealing with unkind people, do you just like and walk away? Or do you try to tell a joke?
It could be a combination of, you know, I may just walk away because maybe they just don't want to hear it. But, you know, sometimes I'll make light of the subject and I'll compliment them for something. Definitely don't put them down, because that just fuel up to the fire. You don't want to make when you don't want them to feel worse. Or maybe you could just say, sounds like you're not having a good day. How can I cheer you up? Or, mm-hmm. you know, something. So it just sort of, I guess it's the spur of the moment, whatever you feel would be the best, you know, solution.
What kind of things did you tell yourself while you were healing from your cancer?
I'm going to beat it. I'm going to beat it. I was going to beat it. And I don't know where that came from, but I know distinctly when I got the phone call that as I hung up that receiver, I knew then I was going to beat it. Uh-huh. I had no idea how, because I didn't know anything about health or diet or cancer. I was just totally green in that field. And, you know, back then, which is more than 20 years ago, I spent countless hours at bookstores and libraries because the availability of the internet isn't what it is today.
Right.
And boy, was I an eye-opener, just totally an eye-opener. So, you know, looking at it from a different perspective too, because I was a chef, had I not been introduced to this, I may be flipping Beetle Burgers down at some beach today.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Is that when you were introduced to Louise Hay during your healing journey from cancer?
Along the way.
Uh-huh. Because I find her affirmations are really beautiful.
Oh, like, absolutely.
For everything. Do you remember what the affirmation for cancer was?
No, I can't remember. But I mean, I've got a copy of her book somewhere. But
I have to read a little copy.
But it's, yeah, she's just very powerful, very inspiring lady. And she didn't start till she was like 70.
I know.
She didn't start young in age. She started when she was older. And she, obviously, was introduced to Wayne Dyer. And Wayne Dyer and the publisher of Hay House, Reed Tracy, were best friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so they used to talk every day on the phone. And then when Wayne Dyer died, he died on the same date as Louise Hay, a different year, but the same
what?
Date. Yes,
what?
The same date. And so
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and somebody sent Reed Tracy an email and said, the reason they both died on the same date is that you only have to cry once.
Aw. Wow.
Yes.
That's
so,
powerful.
You know, another synchronicity. You know, just
really amazing. So do you help people clean their food? Like I'm not the most nutritious eater. I could use a lot more vegetables and a lot more fruits in my life, but you feel like that had a huge impact on your physical part of your healing journey?
Yeah, I mean, I've been teaching for years how, a healthier diet. How to detox your home from toxins, because your toxins in the home are really what starts the cancer going rather than food per se. So I always say focus on your home first before the food, because if you still live in a, if you're still using toiletries and cleaning products that are detrimental to your health, it doesn't matter how healthy you eat, it's not going to help.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the mindset is a really big one.
That's huge. And I have been saying, like, because of my emotional stuff, that it's not just the mindset, but the heart set, that those feelings of love and worthiness that are attached to what you're thinking about, how you feel about yourself impacts what you think about.
That's right. That's very true. So think positive thoughts, the affirmations, the music, the scents, because scents can bring back happy childhood memories.
Mm-hmm.
Music is really soothing. Mindfulness exercises, like really go deep within. Remember yourself when you were as a child, what happy memories can you recall? So, recall happy things that bring a smile to your face.
Mm-hmm. What did you love to do when you were a kid?
I used to play by myself, so I don't know.
Barbies, roller skating, dancing.
Yeah, I liked roller skating. My father taught me how to dance. My
parents
he taught me how to dance the tango and the waltz in the kitchen.
My goodness. Okay, there's another synchronicity. I know how to dance tango.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Okay.
So he taught you how to dance tango?
Yeah, in the kitchen. I remember that.
And so what was that like when you were, how old were you when that happened?
Well, I don't know, what was I, 10 or 12, maybe? I don't know. 8, 10? I don't know.
Uh-huh. And that was like your father-daughter bonding?
Yeah, exactly. And then my father had professional ice skates, but he wasn't a professional skater. Uh-huh. So we'd go skating in the evenings. And he'd get a lot of attention because he had figure skates. So that sort of instilled my love of ice skating, the Olympics, so he was really influential in that capacity. And so it's interesting. And then the love of music, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And was thanks to my father.
And so when you are feeling down, you put on music and dance?
Well, I just listen to the music. I always listen to some kind of music, the higher frequency, before I go to bed at night. Because it puts you in that really good vibrational state, that really relaxed state.
And that when you fall asleep and you go into your subconscious,
that's right.
That's the thing that's playing through your mind, body, heart, soul.
That's right. I mean, I play it for, you know, a bit that healing music for pets too. It really calms them and relaxes them. So, you know, it's beneficial for everybody.
You and I were talking a little bit because you said you have two cats and two dogs, and
yes,
you were talking about their energy. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, cats purring heals bones, number one. And cats intuitively can sense if you're needing that energy for them to sit on you or to sleep beside you or to purr beside you or to lick you. They have that innate thing. And the same thing dogs innately know when you're stressed the same way. And so they may, you know, they're not going to purr, but they'll maybe really stick close to you and lay beside you and follow you all the time. So animals have that instinct. They pick up the energy, the frequency of their owners.
So if somebody says, "Oh, my dog's really anxious,"
could be you're anxious,
right?
You know, I mean, you know, dogs are trained to be service dogs. I mean, it's just incredible how they can pick it up. How can they pick up that somebody's going to go into a diabetic coma or to have a heart attack? How can dogs pick that sense up?
Right. And don't they say that too, like about the full moon, like the animals sense when there's a full moon and they get a little frenetic?
That's right. I mean, you know, we all have our gifts, animals included. And it just, you know, unfortunately, not many people appreciate how our furry families contribute, you know, and it doesn't have to be the domestic ones. I mean, you see these beautiful pictures of being reunited with an animal in the wild after many years, whether it's a wild tiger or whether it's a goose or whether it's a horse or whether it's a hippopotamus, you know, they realize that frequency, that energy that was shared between two people. There's a beautiful one where a chimpanzee is on its deathbed. And the owner who used to look after this chimpanzee 7 years ago comes to pay its respects or say goodbye to the chimpanzee, and the chimpanzee recognizes the owner or his former master.
Wow.
You know, it's an energy frequency.
Wow. So they remember.
That's right.
They remember. I can't remember. Somebody just told me about some movie where this guy was on a race in South America, like the Great Race or something like that. And this dog, this stray dog, kind of followed him. And even though the race was like over mountains and through oceans and whatever, that dog found a way to find this guy. And he ended up like helping him somehow, you know, through the race, saving this guy's life or something. So that's really, really fascinating.
Well, it's the same thing, a famous story about a dog in Japan that used to walk with his owner to the train station, and the owner would get on, you know, the subway, and the dog would be waiting at the end of the day when the owner came back. This is in Japan. Hashimoto, I can't remember. Anyway, and the man dies. The dog...
At work.
The man died at work. But the dog still went to that train station morning and night and sat there for like 20 years after the owner had died. They've erected a statue of this dog at this train station in Japan.
Aww. Wow.
So it's that energy frequency. They remember the kindness. So your kindness goes a long way. You just don't know how you're going to impact an animal or a human being. So always be kind.
Ripples.
Just always be kind.
Yeah. And be kind to yourself.
That's right. We forget to be kind to ourselves because we're always beating ourselves up. You know, at the end of the day, I write down three things that I am grateful for or I appreciate that about myself that I did. Date it, have a journal, and a year later, 2 years later, 5 years later, just leaf through the journal and remember that on April the 1st, 1967, say, I said blah, 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 and I was going through blah, blah, blah. That's a real pick-me-up.
How long have you been doing that, Alexi?
No, I haven't been doing it that long. I just picked a number.
No, that's actually been a theme like the last couple of weeks. Gratitude, gratitude, gratitude. And I think when you're in the midst of your mess, sometimes it's hard to think, you know, I'm really sad. What can I be grateful for? But
that's right.
I would imagine like through your cancer journey, especially, you're grateful to wake up in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
You're grateful to have one more day.
That's right. Well, and even everyday stuff, people are always complaining or blaming somebody. Oh, I have to get up. Oh, I have to take the car in to get fixed. Oh, I have to have an argument with so-and-so. Just like you said, be grateful that you're alive, that you have another day. Wake up in the morning and think, whose face can I put a smile on today?
Oh.
How can I make somebody's life just a little sweeter?
Wow.
It changes the perception. You know, like, for example, a 4-year-old little girl goes with her grandfather for ice cream and cookies on Sunday afternoons. And so one Sunday he's sick in bed, so he asks grandma to take the little girl. So off the two of them go, come back in a couple of hours. She goes running up to her grandfather's room, who's still sick in bed. And he says, how was that? And she says, we didn't see any sons of bitches, horses, asses, or tree huggers. All grandma did was wave and smile. It was really boring. So as cute as it is, it's not really, because she's identifying with the negative things, whereas her grandmother is smiling and being happy.
Being kind.
And, you know? So it's, you know, a lot of it too is how we were raised.
So how is that little 4-year-old going to grow up?
That's right. You know, she's going to look for sons of bitches and tree huggers.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, well, me with my kids, that was one of the reasons why I got divorced, because I just thought, I don't want them to think that this negative energy and this chaos and stress in our house is, even though it's been normal in our household, I don't want that to be their normal. You know, I want
That's
to
right.
create something better for them. I want to create a sense of peace and stability and security and unconditional love. And I mean, they have a good relationship with their dad. I mean, I'm not mm-hmm. saying anything about that, but all of them have said, you know, dad's a good person and you're a good person, but together you just didn't mix well. And
yeah.
so it's like, you have to recognize when your frequencies are not matching with somebody. That doesn't make either person wrong. It just makes it like, I'm not energetically vibing with you anymore.
I know. And that happens quite frequently. I recently asked three of my girlfriends who had been married like at least 25 years or more. And I said, do you have similarities that you share today? And all of them said no, with the exception of one. And her only similarity was her religious beliefs. They were both Jewish. But other than that, they've grown apart, because when you first get married, it's like the love and the passion, you can build a family. And then over time, you have different interests and sometimes you grow apart.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's not a good thing or a bad thing. But, you know, like, you know, in your instance, I can't imagine being married to somebody for 25 or 50 years and not enjoying it. And it's just like drudgery. I mean, that's not fair to you, to them, or the kids.
Right. And it impacts the way that you go out in the world. I mean,
That's right.
even though like I could go to my other work, I could go hang out with my family and my friends. But that sense of like, this is so difficult, you know, and I know that we all have difficulties in our lives, which we've been talking about, that everyone has difficulties. Everyone has challenges, but how you choose to show up in them and what you do about them, that's left up to you.
Absolutely. That is so very true. That's right. Because you are responsible for your own happiness, nobody else.
that's what I mean, that was the basically the bottom line that I came to in my marriage. I just said, despite the roller coaster ride, it's like, I need to create my own sense of peace and happiness.
That's
and
right.
Obviously, you have done the same thing through your cancer challenges and your other challenges that you've had. And it's, I mean, I don't feel like life, we're here. Yes, we have suffering in our life, but I don't think that's the purpose of life.
No, that's very true.
So what do you think the purpose of life is, Miss Alexi?
That's a good question. You know, some people may say to procreate. Procreation isn't everybody's bag, and not to discredit people that don't feel it that way. But I guess we're put on this earth to make the world a better place, whether it's looking after the environment, looking after our farm animals, our sea animals, the ground that our food is grown on, and the people that we interact with, make their life a little bit better, because you in turn will make your life a little better through acts of kindness, through acts of gratitude, bringing joy, sharing love. There's all sorts of little things we can do. So don't wait for somebody to show you that first. You be the instigator, because through the ripple effect, we can all be a happier world.
Would you imagine, I've said this before, can you imagine if everybody in the world was happy?
Wow. Unbelievable. And it's possible, but, you know, it's, people, you know, think, you know, when they show me that, I'll do it too. Well, no, you show by example.
Right. Be the change you want to see
That's
in the
right.
world.
You know, like when you leave this earth plane, what do you want to be remembered for? As the grumpy person, or somebody that, you know, lived their dreams, their wishes, whatever it may be. You don't have to be a TED speaker. Maybe you inspired your granddaughter how to make cookies and she became a world-class baker. Uh-huh. Maybe, you know, so like, you know, I've always said of late that for my reception after I pass, the price of admission is you have to come with a joke. You know, share happy moments, happy things, silly
yeah.
things that I maybe did.
Yeah.
You know, silly things is not restricted just to, is not an age restricted thing. You can do
right.
silly things like today, April Fool's Day. You know, I didn't do anything, but I recall some things I did as a child.
Go ahead. Tell the one.
Well, actually, I changed the plugs on the bathroom sink. And the bathtub, because back then we had plugs rather than, you know, the automatic. So, you know, when my father went to put water in the sink in the bathroom to wash his face, he couldn't do it because the plug was the one that fit the bathroom, the tub, so it was too big. And then I say, and this is when newspapers were, you had a newspaper delivered every day. I saved the newspaper from the year before. And my
that took a lot of forethought, Alexi.
Yes, I know it did. And so I guess back then I was already planning what trick can I play or joke can I play. And so my father read the paper, and then I gave him the current one of that date.
So hilarious.
You know, and then I think I did something about changing the sugar and the salt containers or something, you know.
That would not be good in the coffee.
No, it wouldn't be, you know. But, you know, there's all sorts of little things you can do just to be funny, just to, you know, make people laugh, to make people laugh. I do that repeatedly, you know, on the elevator. If somebody says something nice or smiles out, I always compliment them. Or if their children hold the door open and they're with their father, I compliment the father.
Yeah.
I say, you're really doing a good job to raise your kids, you know?
Right. Yes.
Because not everybody's of that school of thought.
Right. No, a little kindness goes a very, very long way.
That's right, exactly.
So the last question that I ask all of my guests, Alexi, because this podcast is called Wake Up to Real Love, is how do you define real love?
No strings attached, wholehearted, from your heart, from your soul. You're giving because you want, to give, not because you want to get. And you want to put a smile on a person's face and leave them with peace in their heart.
That's beautiful. Thank you.
My pleasure.
All right. So how can people get in touch with you to find out more about you, to work with you?
LinkedIn is the best place. I have an app called wholehealth.ca, but the LinkedIn is more current, and I use LinkedIn every day as opposed to my app. I don't go there every day. And I'm glad to respond to your comments. I post every day a short video, something related to happiness. Like it's only a minute long, something you can do with your children, with yourself, just to give you some inspiration, just to make it a happier day. Because in the long run, happiness matters.
Exactly. And I feel like the more, did I tell you this when we talked before? Like my dad says, aging is mandatory, but growing up is optional.
That's right. That's very true. And same thing, a four-year-old boy goes up to his dad and says, "Dad, I know who I'm going to marry." So who's the lucky girl? It's grandma. She loves me. She's a great cook. She's an awesome storyteller. Well, there's a bit of a problem, son. What's that, Dad? You can't marry my mother. Why not? You married mine. So should we be, you know, should our children and our grandchildren really remember us as that happy person, that storyteller?
Yeah. It's a beautiful, beautiful legacy. And you have so many gifts that you're sharing. So you have totally brightened up my day. And it's been it's been a pleasure knowing you the short amount of time that I've known you.
Oh, well, thank you. I've really enjoyed our conversation. It's been really, it's lifted my spirits too. What can I say?
Thank you. Thank you. And so to the listeners that listen to this, please share this far and wide, because we want to share messages of hope and joy and happiness and love, so that people feel uplifted, you know, that everyone can raise their frequency and feel better about themselves and feel better about being in the world and their place in the world, feeling more worthy. And please give a 5-star review, share with all your friends. And if you want to get in touch with me, I'm on LinkedIn and Facebook and website under construction. I do TikTok. My Instagram was hacked a year ago, but I'm getting back into that. So if you want to find me, there are many places to reach me. But for the, I just want to thank you so much, Alexi, for joining me today. It's been a real pleasure, and you're so inspiring.
Well, thank you. It's a lot of synchronicities there, I tell you. Just unbelievable.
Crazy, like very bizarre synchronicities. So thank you. These are what I call God winks. Like you're moving in the right direction. This is confirmation that I am where I'm supposed to be.
That is so very true. And thank you for that confirmation too.
Yeah, thank you. So everybody, share with Alexi, share Alexi's conversation far and wide, and every day wake up to more and more real love. We'll see you next time, listeners. Thank you, Alexi.
Thank you.
Subscribe to the Wake Up to Real Love podcast. Leave 5-star reviews. And of course, share with your friends. You can find Dawn on various social media platforms at Dawn Richard or at The Awakening with Dawn.